Well, are you ready to hear the Word of God? It has the power to transform us, doesn't it? Why don't you stand just a moment before we begin and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this group. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to share with them your Word. I believe, Father, that in the moments that we have together today, you're going to reveal yourself. Lord, there's nothing brand new that I'm going to share, but Father, thanks to you and the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can hear the same thing that maybe we've heard before, and it will illuminate in our hearts. We will hear things and understand things that we haven't understood before. And so I pray that you would do that for us today. Let us take note of what we're hearing today. Let us take note of how you're speaking to us. We just open ourselves up today to receive everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just wanted to give you a reprise from that nice hard pew. Prepare to sit for a few moments. A teacher sent home a letter on the first day of school to all the parents. She said, "I promise if you will not believe all that your child says goes on at school, I promise not to believe all that your child says goes on at home." How many of you know that sometimes in school, children will tell tales and they come home and everything is worse than you think? I have been around children a lot in my life and I've worked with kids, and the stories they can come up with are just amazing. Do you remember when you would go to school and a teacher would bring out the pop quiz? Nobody liked the pop quiz. Or maybe there was that one child that nobody liked that liked the pop quiz. But most of us didn't like the pop quiz. We didn't like tests in schools, did we? I found out that I never really enjoyed tests, but there were some tests that didn't cause me to have anxiety. And those were the tests that came about because I was a little more prepared for it. When you're prepared for a test, it makes taking the test a little bit better. Every time we go to the DMV to get a new driver's license, you have to read the lines, right? And they say, read what's in front of you. And I wear contacts or glasses. And one time, and I for years, I could pass that test. And I didn't have to wear my contacts. I remember one time Joy and I went. We had just moved back to Texas from Wisconsin. And I went into the DMV to get my driver's license. And Joy was standing in front of me. And she went first. And I said, "Speak loud so I can hear you when you take the test." And she rattled off. She rattled off so fast I couldn't hear a thing. And when I got up to look at that, they said, "Read line 3." And I went, "Niner, sevener, fourer." I mean, I couldn't. It was terrible. I didn't have a pair of glasses on me. They said, "Sir, do you wear glasses?" And I said, "I have contacts." They said, "Do you have them with you?" And I said, "No." And they said, "You need them." And so I went home and I found them. They were stuck in a drawer. I hadn't worn them in a long time. And I took this. The only thing I had was one contact that was about as dry as a potato chip. And I had to stuff it in my eyeball to come back and read the thing. It was terrible. But I passed the test, and now my little card says must wear glasses. So I wear them every day now. Now, have you ever, see, my favorite test are true and false, because you still got a 50-50 chance, right? You're never going to make lower than a 50 on a true and false test. Everybody's going to get at least a 50 because, I mean, you can only be wrong 100% of the time. And at that point, you get 50 right and 50 wrong. So I think that you got a pretty good chance of getting those right. So have you ever said no to something when the right answer should have been yes, but you just assumed that the answer would be no before you ever even asked the question? The Word of God talks a little bit about that, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. It gives us a few examples of when somebody said no to God instead of waiting to hear God speak for himself. I've been guilty of doing that, saying no to something that was going on in my life before I ever even approached God with it. Matthew, the 9th chapter in the 29th verse says, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." So we're going to talk about faith today. I didn't, in those situations when I said no before I even ask God about it. I wasn't walking by faith. I was just simply looking at the facts. I was just simply looking at the facts, and that's the problem. You see, letting your faith work in your life is the law of expectation. God established it. It's also the law of faith that gets us to choose how we will respond. You can, anytime a situation comes in your life, you have the opportunity to respond in fear or in faith. How many times do you see you're driving down the road and suddenly you see lights behind you and it's a police officer? You quickly, most of us, fear immediately grips us. Faith doesn't usually kick in and say, that guy is bringing me a $100 gift card. That just doesn't happen, does it? We don't think that way. We think, I am in trouble now. And that's the fear factor that comes into there. We tend to feel the way we expect to feel. Let me say that again. You tend to feel the way you expect to feel. So what are your expectations? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you look at that verse, that tells us that being obedient alone is not enough. Just because you followed all the rules, just because you didn't break the Ten Commandments, that's not enough to please God. Isn't that interesting? That God is looking for more than just being obedient and walking like little soldiers through life and doing everything that you're told to do. Just sit there and don't mess up. And we think if we just get through life without messing up, God would love us. Well, that's not what he says. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So guess what? God expects you to take some risk in your life. How many of you like taking risk? Maybe not so much. As you get older, maybe you take less of them. When you're young, you do crazy things. If somebody had told me to go jump in the lake when I was a kid, I probably would have. As a matter of fact, what am I saying? I did. I did jump in the lake. I remember just going up and climbing up on bluffs and jumping off, not really knowing what was below there. And looking back on it, it was not too bright. But that was that's what you do when you're 15, you're 16, you're 17 years old. It's not enough. Well, you see, when I graduated from high school, I didn't plan to go to college because I knew that based on the economics of my family, they couldn't afford to send me. And so I had done the math. I had just already come up with a conclusion. I didn't ask God if I could go to college. I didn't ask God if he would make a way for me to go to college. I just said, Lord, I know I can't go to college because my family can't send me. And so for 1 year, I worked in a warehouse, drove a forklift, and did all the stuff. And after a few months of doing that and smashing my fingers every other day, I thought, maybe there's more to life than this. And about a year later, I applied for college, and then I prayed about it, and I sent off the financial package that I needed, and a few weeks later, I got the response that God had provided a way for me to go to college. And it wasn't based on fact, it was based on the goodness and the mercy of God. And he allowed my faith to be stretched at that moment. At that moment was probably the very first time in my life that God had ever done something for me personally, where I realized that, you know, if I step out on nothing, I might land on something. And that's really what faith is. It's stepping out on nothing and landing on something. And in your life, you may find yourself in that same place. There are things that we all go through that we don't know what the future looks like. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves simply saying no for God before God ever gets an opportunity to answer the question. Don't say no for God, because God may be willing to say yes. So here's what I know. After all that time of traveling, after not going to school, when God provided for me, it taught me some valuable things. I was operating in faith. You see, Romans 14 goes so far as to say that anything that does not come from faith is sin. So we need to operate in faith. It's important. Faith is so important to please God, but how do you get it? Do you get it by a pill? Do you get it from a seminar? Can you get it from an online course? No. In Luke 17, the disciples even came to Jesus and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Faith grows when we go through test. There's that word again. When we go through tests. But wait, doesn't the Bible say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Yes, it does. But did you know that's not the only way that faith grows? That's how you get it. That's how you. What's what you need. If you want to know the will of God, don't ever leave out the Word of God. The Word of God is your is how you're going to find out the will of God. But that's not the only way your faith grows. Because here's the situation. Knowledge alone isn't enough. You can simply become a library of knowing about faith, but unless you step out and do something with what you have learned, it will never be successful. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. The New Living Translation of that verse says, faith is dead when nothing is done. So you got to have faith to do something. You got to do something with the faith that you have. So what are we doing with the faith that we have? James, the first chapter, 3rd and 4th verse says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Needing nothing. I'm grateful that we get to have some tests in our life that prove us, that accelerate our faith in our lives. The purpose of the test is actually to help you become a mature believer. Maturity doesn't happen automatically just because you get older. Birthdays don't always bring another year of maturity. Have you ever seen an adult who goes through the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again? Just because they have gotten older doesn't mean that they have gotten more mature. You can become mature, but you have to learn from your past mistakes. When the test comes, you have to pass the test. And so we're going to look at 4 kinds of tests that God uses us today to help us mature in our faith. Are you ready? Number 1, God tests our faith through difficulties. Through difficulties. This just doesn't sound like fun at all, does it? 1 Peter, 1st chapter. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You see, I love this statement. Everything is Father filtered. Father filtered. In other words, everything that happens in your life has to go through the Father first. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you need. He knows how things are progressing in your life. And so don't ever take a backseat to the fact that you are a child of the King. You need to understand that God Himself is watching out for you. But that doesn't mean that God is bringing bad things in your life, but it does mean that He knows what's going on. You see, we live in a broken world. And sometimes things happen in our lives that bring about disappointment to us. We get in the middle of a situation and we hoped for one thing and suddenly it didn't turn out that way and we're disappointed. Here's a line that you need to know. Sometimes our disappointments are His divine appointments. Sometimes the very thing that brings the most disappointment in your life, God is saying, I've got a better plan for you. I know you thought that's what you needed. I know that's what you thought you wanted. I know that's what you thought would fix everything, but I know something that you don't. Stick with me. I've got a better plan for your life. If life were easy, it wouldn't require faith. You could just feel God all the time and you'd just go by your feelings. But that's not the way God operates. Sometimes God removes His feelings, the feeling of His presence, just so you can learn how to trust Him in the difficult times of life. I love it when we come to church and we worship God and I sense the presence of God in the room. I love it when I'm driving down the road like I was this week listening to some worship music and I sense the presence of the Lord in my car. I love it when I'm alone at my house and I'm listening to something and I can tell that God is there, or when I'm home and I'm preparing a sermon and I can just sense God anointing me even as I'm writing or typing or walking around talking to myself. I love it when that happens, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes there are no feelings, no goosebumps. The hair on the back of my head does not stand up. There is no hair on the back of my head. What am I talking about? Sometimes it's just like that. You just don't feel it. And you say, God, where are you? And you know God is still there even when you don't feel him. He's still there. You may be going through a time in your life right now where you say, Lord, you were closer to me once. The fact is, he's still as close as the very mention of his name. Sometimes we just move away. And sometimes his feelings, the feelings just change. Here's a great verse that'll get you through tough times. It's found in Isaiah 48:10. I have refined you, though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Now, that's not one of those memory verses you go around quoting to yourself and going, yay, the furnace of affliction, the furnace of affliction, yippee. But how many of you can attest to the fact that sometimes we have gone through some fire in our life? If you're like me, you've been through some things that felt a whole lot like fire. You need to know that sometimes you can find yourself in fire and you realize that God is testing you. How are you going to respond? How is that test going to mature you? Here's a second way that God tests us. God tests our faith through demands. These are all going to start with D, so you'll get the idea. Sometimes he asks us to do what seems like the impossible. There they are in the New Testament. Over 1,000 commands for believers to obey. Of all these commands, some of them just seem unreasonable. Some of them seem inconvenient. Some of them seem downright impossible. So what do you do when you have an impossible demand, or it seems like a demand of God? You have to realize they're there to test your faith. Like the children of Israel were tested when they had to go out and into the wilderness. They had been slaves, but at least they had an idea of what was going on. They finally get out in the wilderness, and they don't know what to expect. Here's what it says in Exodus, the 16th chapter. Some of you will remember the story, perhaps, of when God provided manna for the children of Israel. Remember, manna was the food that fell on the ground, and they had enough, but they could only take enough for how many days? One day, here's what it says. The people are to go out each day and gather enough manna for that day. In that way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. God was putting these Israelites to a test. You see, he needed to mature this group of believers. This whole nation needed to be matured because they had been slaves. They had that slave mentality for so many years. It took a while to get the slave mentality out of them. Abraham, at the age of 75, heard God tell him to leave his home and go somewhere that he had never been. He could have asked, or he could have said, Lord, it's just too risky. I need some more proof. I need you to come out and do something else. I'm too old to change now. Let me just die and go on to heaven. But instead, he says he went, and it says, Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and went. You see, faith always includes risk. Always includes risk. I don't care what you step out to do, whether you're stepping out to build a marriage, whether you're stepping out to build a career, whether you're stepping out to build a business, whether you're stepping out to build a church. It doesn't matter whether you're going to another part of the world as a missionary. It all requires risk. That's what faith is. It's stepping out and saying, God, I know that you're already there before I get there. But it always includes risk. Noah lived in a desert, and God came to him with one command. Build an ark. Right, an ark. What's an ark? You've heard the whole story maybe years ago. He didn't know. It didn't rain the same way then that it does now. Up until that point, the rain came from the water came from the ground, but he was faithful. And Scripture tells us that by faith, Noah built an ark. So here's the question for you. What's that command that feels like a demand in your life that you're facing right now? Some of the things that God has spoken to you to do, and you're saying, Lord, this is too risky. This thing that you're trying to get me to do, I'm just not feeling it. There's that feeling thing again. We step out on faith even when the feelings aren't there. The third way that God tests us is he tests our faith with dollars. Yes, money happened to be a D word. Did you know that money's one of the greatest tests of your faith? Few people understand how God uses our material possessions as a test of character and a test of faith. Now, for some people, finances are the greatest test of faith, not because they've got a lot of it, but because they don't have a lot of it. Sometimes it's not the amount of money that you have that will test your faith. It's what you're going to do with what you've got. God sees people with little money who are faithful. He sees people with a lot of money who are faithful. And the opposite is also true. God can see people who are completely consumed with finances that don't have two pennies to rub together. And they just struggle every week, every month, every year because they just can't release it. It is a test. God is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me that my word says that tithing is one of my commands? Tithing is something that we encourage, that as you give your tithe to the Lord, God can make that 90% that's left over become much more than the 100% that you had without him being involved in it. Money is a big deal. Jesus said in Luke, the 16th chapter, if you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? You see, every time you receive money, it's a test to know how wise you're going to become with it. Now, here's the great thing about me preaching on something like this. We haven't actually addressed money since we started the church. Why? Because I haven't felt the need to. We have a very generous congregation. I love it when all the bills are paid and I can stand before you and say, God wants you to tithe. It's not because we're going broke. God wants you to tithe because he wants to bless you. Plain and simple. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. It's just because we go through seasons of a little money and a lot of money that we sometimes begin to think that God can't or won't bless us. We get the test is sometimes just simply because it's not the same week after week, and we have to put our trust in God. How are we going to trust him? Paul wrote it like this in 2 Corinthians. He said, excel in the grace of giving. Then he goes on to say, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. There's that testing thing again. I have too many examples to give you for what God has done in my life, from times that I have bought cars and God has provided a way, from times that I have had to repair cars and God has provided the finances, to when we bought our first home, how God supernaturally provided finances. I can go through a history lesson of how God has been faithful in my life with money. And it's just wonderful to see how God will bless you when you are faithful. Tithing is a test. Giving is your tithe is a test. Even just living a life of generosity is a test. How are you going to be? Are you going to be generous with other people? Are you trusting God? Do you have faith in his provision? Number four, here's the fourth way that God tests us. This one happens to all of us. God tests us through delays. Delays. You see, if every prayer were immediately answered, if your every need were automatically met, if every problem were instantly solved, you wouldn't need faith and your faith wouldn't need to be stretched. But it's not that way. Sometimes we have to wait on things. I'm not even going to ask for a show of the hands because I know we've all had to wait on things. There have been delays in our life. Prayers that we have prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've said, God, where is the answer? And it sounds like the heavens are brass. Nothing is moving. And it just seems like in those moments, the delay becomes overwhelming. We say, God, when I first came to know you, I could pray anything and you answered it immediately. But now, what's taking so long? I think this is a sign of maturity, if you want to know the truth. When a child is first born, that baby can cry, that baby can whimper, that baby can make any noise, and the parents are right there. They're there for that every need. But as that child grows and matures, that child becomes a teenager. That child's not, every whimper and every holler that that teenager makes, the parents are not going to come running. Let's put it this way. The parents should not come running. It can be a problem down the road, but that's a sign of maturity. That's what happens. And God knows that he's wanting you to be mature. He's working on your character, and everybody said amen. A good example is when God took the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They're on their way from Egypt to the Promised Land. They could have made it. They could have traveled that distance in 2 or 3 weeks. But the fact is, because of some of their disobedience, it took them 40 years to get there. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Sometimes the delay is simply so God will know what is in your heart. That's what the test is all about. Isaiah 64:4 says, God acts on behalf of those who wait on him. Are you waiting on God for something? Has God promised you something and it just hasn't happened right away? Does it seem like the delays are happening more often? Or is there something that you've been holding on to? Or are you holding God out there at an arm's reach and you're saying, God, when you finally come through, then I'll serve you. When you do your thing, when you finally answer my prayer, then I will get on board with you. But until you do, you see, God can hold out longer than you can, I promise you. It pays to be patient, but just remember this. While you're waiting, God is working. You're not waiting alone. Waiting in faith that God is working. God is doing things behind the scene in your heart and other people's hearts, even while you can't see it. So let me ask you a question. What prayer or event has been delayed in your life that you're still waiting on? Maybe you've added up the facts like I did. You've reached a conclusion that there's no way you can do something because it's humanly, economically, or physically impossible. And you've just simply said, I'm not going to bother to ask God to help in this situation because it's just never going to work. It just can't happen. I've already figured it out. And you've already said no to God. And you haven't even given him an opportunity to say yes. 2 Corinthians, verse 1. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. You see, no matter if God says no for now, it just simply means he's got a better yes coming. It may not happen right this moment like you think it was going to happen, but I assure you, God has a yes for you. He has established some things in his word. He wants you to know that the answer may not be immediate. There may be a delay. You may be going through that test. But God's answer is always yes. It's just, have you been asking the right questions or not? Would you bow your heads? Here's the question for you. What test are you in right now? You may be going through tests of difficulties, demands, dollars, delays. But know this. Here's what you need to know about the testing of God. God's right there in the room with you. God doesn't leave you alone when you're taking the test. As a matter of fact, he even allows you to take an open book test. He encourages it. If you want to know the will of God, like I said, don't ignore the word of God. Here's the question for you. I want to pose this to everyone here today. What test are you going through? What situation in your life has brought you discouragement, disappointment, fear, anxiety, stress, worry? What is that thing in your life that you said, Lord, if I could just get some answers to my prayers, I would be so much more positive for you. I would be so much more excited about the kingdom of God in my life. I want you to know that to please God, you've got to step out on faith, even when you cannot see the next step in front of you. Where is that step that you need to take? What is God speaking to you about right now and saying, there's something in your life that I need you to step out in faith and do it before you can see the next step? There are things that I need you to do today, God is saying, that will show me that you have matured, that you are ready for me to take you to the next place. If you're here today and you're just going through something and you know that God is testing you, and you'd be honest enough with me today, I'd just like you to slip your hand up. We're just going to pray with you today. Yes, 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 all over. This is not just the occasional person. Most of us in the room have had tests in our lives. Most of us are being tested at some point right now in our life. I want you to know God is a God that still leans into you. Scripture tells us as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. So right now, Father, we call on Your name to hear us and answer us. But Lord, we thank You because even though we're going through tests, You haven't left us. You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. Your word says You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, there is nothing too hard for You. I'm grateful, Father, that we have the ability to come into Your presence. We sense You working on our behalf. There are times when we know You're right there with us because we can feel it. Lord, I want You to know that we're stepping out on faith today in the times we can feel You, and we're stepping out on faith today when we can't feel You at all. The feeling is just not there. I pray, Father, for each one in this group, each one here today at the Brownstone. Lord, would You do the supernatural work in our situation? Show us where we need to go. Show us how we can increase our faith, Lord. Let us trust You greater today than we did yesterday. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.